Been well nourished with the temporal blessings, and now we'll continue with the spiritual blessings. But before we do, we'll get some lungs in the air and some oxygen back up into the brains. So we'll sing 227 in the Bible Student Hymnal, 165 in the Dawn. Love divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. And so I'll be upstanding. Open our afternoon session with prayer to our Heavenly Father. Thank you.
Loving Heavenly Father, may we indeed come with thankful hearts to before Thee and thank Thee and praise Thee for Thy wonderful character and Thy plan and purposes, and ask for Thy Holy Spirit to be with us at this time with the speakers, that we may gain more insight and understanding of Thee and Thy ways, and that it may build each one up and be more pleasing and acceptable to Thee. We think of Thy people around the world and ask Thy blessing with them. Their trust and faith in Thee to be strong. For Thee for session now and Thy care and Thy overruling, and thank Thee and Thy precious Son, our dear Redeemer. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Henry. First off, this afternoon we have a symposium. Brother Barry Liebig from Perth and Brother Darren Greenhills here from Gympie will be serving us this afternoon. First to Brother Liebig is his title is He Shall Live Again, and Brother Darren, He Is Risen. We'll have another hymn though. Brother Barry has chosen 103 in the Bible Student, which is 66 in the Dawn. 103. I'm off already. Sorry, Brother Baird. I was supposed to go after you talk, not before. So maybe when you're finished, if you would just call on Brother Darren to come up and we'll do them back to back, then we'll have the hymn afterwards there. So we'll ask Brother Barry Liebig from Western Australia, the other side of the country, to come forward and give us his thoughts. Thanks.
Well, it's 1991 was my last time that I was in Queensland to attend a convention, and that was in the Nambour School, and it's just unbelievable how that time has gone by, and it is great to see some of the brethren I haven't seen since that time, and it's good to catch up with the ones I haven't seen again. Today, my part of this address is taken from the Old Testament on the coming of the Messiah, and Darren will take the second part from the New Testament. You're right here. He shall live again. The title of this address is taken from Isaiah 53, verse 10, from the Living Bible Translation. The last part of this verse says, "He shall live again, and God's program shall prosper in his hands." We would like to refresh our memories about some of the Old Testament prophecies concerning the promise of a coming Messiah and the hope of the resurrection. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? We remember when Jesus appeared to the two disciples on the way to Emmaus, he asked them why they were so disheartened. After hearing their reply, Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe that all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Luke 24:25. The first promise that God had not forsaken man, but would ultimately recover him through a Redeemer, is found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." If it wasn't for this gleam of hope that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head, the human race would have ultimately perished. But this promise, though obscure, showed that God had a plan for their benefit. The necessity of the death of a Redeemer as an atonement sacrifice for sin is illustrated many times in the Old Testament by the acceptance of Abel's offerings, by Isaac on the altar, by the death of the various animal sacrifices by which the patriarchs and prophets had access to God, and by the animal sacrifices under the Jewish law. We notice in Genesis God's special selection of Abraham and certain of his offsprings, through which the promised blessings of all the families should come. The divine promise and revelation to Abraham was, "In thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." This promise was repeated to Abraham with an oath after in faith he had offered his son Isaac on the altar. Genesis 22:15-18, "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself, saith the Lord, for because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sands which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Moses, who stood out as a deliverer, prophet, lawgiver and ruler, pointed to the blessing of Israel under a great ruler and deliverer whose power and authority, he said, would be like unto me. This promised ruler and deliverer like unto Moses was not only to bless Israel, but by and through Israel was to bless all the families of the earth. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of this government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." All the prophets foretold the eventuality of laying sin upon a person instead of a dumb animal. They looked down the stream of time and saw him who was to redeem Israel and the whole human race. They foretold that he would be led as a lamb to the slaughter, the chastisement of our peace being laid upon him, and that by his stripes we would be healed. They pictured him as being despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and declared that the Lord has laid upon him the iniquities of us all. Isaiah 53. They also tell us that he was to be born of a virgin, and where he would be born, in Bethlehem. Therefore the Lord himself will give a sign. The virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14 and Micah 5:52. He would be called out of Egypt, Isaiah 1:1. He would be anointed of the Spirit, Isaiah 11:2. He would enter Jerusalem on an ass, be betrayed by a friend for 30 pieces of silver, the money used to purchase a potter's field, and that his disciples would desert him. The piercing of his hands and feet, the parting of his garments, the casting of lots for his vestures, his poverty, suffering, and death are also recorded in Psalms 22 and in Isaiah 53. How accurately and literally all these prophecies were fulfilled in the life and death of Jesus of Nazareth. A great Redeemer was to come, and he was to redeem all those who were under the death sentence through Adam's fall. By his willing obedience unto death for them, condemnation was to cease, and by his dying they were to live. There are many Old Testament prophecies showing how God will restore Israel, and through Israel, all the Gentile nations. Ezekiel 37:12-16, therefore prophesy, says, and say unto them, says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Jeremiah goes on to say, 34:14-16, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the glorious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Ezekiel 37:24-28, my servant David will be king over them, and they will have one shepherd. They will follow my laws and be careful to keep my decrees. They will live in the land I gave to my descendant Jacob, the land where your fathers lived. They and their children's children will live there forever. And David, my servant, will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers, and I will put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I, the Lord, make Israel holy when my sanctuary is among them. The great hope of a resurrection is because of the promise in Isaiah 53 that yes, he will live again. Psalm 16:10, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. In the book of Job, we see Job's close reasoning respecting the utter hopelessness of man in death. He says, a tree may die and yet its roots retain life, which may spring up into another tree. But when a man dies, there is no root left, no spark of life remains. Job expresses the only real hope of our race, a resurrection, a restitution of true life. Oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would keep me secret until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. Then Job asks a question. If a man dies, shall he live again? And he answers, all the days of my appointed time I will wait until my change comes. In Jeremiah 31:15-17, we have words of comfort for the mothers in the time of Herod and for all mothers who have lost little ones. A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because her children are no more. This is what the Lord says. Refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, says the Lord. They will return from the land of the enemy. So there is hope for the future, declares the Lord. Your children will return to their own land. There is this sure hope for all mankind. Isaiah 26:19, but your dead will live, their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. Isaiah 35:10, the ransom of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Speaking glowingly of this time, the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 25, on this mountain the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all people. On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples. The sheet that covers all nations will be swallowed up, will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trust in him and he saved us. This is the Lord, we trusted in him. All these precious promises are in God's holy word, and we see and we can be sure of their fulfillment. He has lived again. May the Lord add his blessing.